Hello, Salim Omar here from the E-commerce Money Map podcast. Welcome to another episode. We have a special guest. Her name is Catherine Smith. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm really looking forward to this and learning from you some of the things we're going to be talking about. I'm also joined by Shaheen Shaw, my co-host. Shaw, welcome.
Hey, Salim. Hi, Catherine.
Awesome. Let's get started. Catherine is a principal consultant at Walton Birch, an Atlanta-based consulting firm. She's also the co-founder of the Black Lady Business School, a networking and professional organization for women. She is an e-commerce expert, a Shopify superfan and partner, and she helps small businesses and entrepreneurs to launch and grow e-commerce stores. So, Catherine, let's dive right in. Share with us some key points of your backstory that has led you to where you are today.
Sure, I'd love to. I've had a very interesting path to get to this point in my career and in my life. So I started out as a web designer or developer back in 2009, you know, when websites were cool, but not everybody knew how to make one. And I had an internship with a large Fortune 500 company just cranking out websites every day, like small business websites. So they were static web pages with text, a few images and things like that. But I would make like 20 or 30 of them every day. So,
wow.
Started out just as a plain up, straight up web designer, but I was like, I don't want to do this. You know, web designers get no respect. Like, I need to get a real job. I devoted some time and energy into developing my skills and advancing and getting promoted through corporate America. So I stayed with that company for a while and spent about 8 years, maybe a little over 8 years in corporate America, you know, just kind of rising through the ranks there. But in 2019, I experienced an illness and had to take some time off from full-time work. And so I took what I thought was a temporary break from corporate America and said, you know, well, while I'm off from corporate America, I may as well start my own business so that I can make some income during this time off. And then 6 months later, COVID hit and I had to make the decision to either, you know, try and get back into a corporate job for that security or to double down on entrepreneurship. And I just wasn't well enough at the time to try and consider a full-time job again. So I doubled down on entrepreneurship. So here I am about 3 years into full-time entrepreneurship.
Wow. So came on a fork on the road.
Yep.
And you had to make a decision, corporate America.
Yep.
Or start your own thing. So 3 years into it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Full-time.
Yep.
And how's the journey been? What's it been like? Was it what you were expecting?
No, not even a little bit. There were things that like I just didn't know about full-time entrepreneurship. And full-time entrepreneurship has changed a lot since my little side hustle as a web designer back in the early 2000s. So, you know, COVID withstanding, just the silence that happens when you work by yourself and for yourself was really surprising to me. Like I found myself being lonely. As much as I hate open layout floor plans and loud corporate offices and working around a ton of people every day, just working by myself, you know, quietly every day was just a lot. And so I had to actively go out and find networking opportunities and opportunities to talk to people to kind of get over some of that loneliness. But yeah, so the loneliness was one of the things that I had not anticipated and just feeling kind of creatively stifled because I wasn't talking to people every day. So that was a big surprise, you know, just getting out here every day thinking, okay, well, I'm a consultant. I'm just going to tell people I'm a consultant. And, you know, they're just going to be like, hey, I need your help. Like the if you build it, they will come kind of mentality. Definitely not true, by the way. Not true. Not even a little bit. So the amount of networking and talking and, you know, getting out there that I needed to kind of start getting traction for my business was also a little bit surprising. I've also been surprised at how much business I've gotten through word of mouth. Like I knew it was an important tool. I knew it was an important part of business, but I've been truly surprised by how many people say, oh, you know, so-and-so told me about you and I just wanted to check it out. So those are the things I think I've been most surprised about during entrepreneurship.
Yeah. 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 The entrepreneur is the loneliest person on earth. This was a saying or a quote that one of my mentors reminded me of a number of years back because you don't have staff, you know, you may not have staff members or if you have staff members, they're not going to talk to you like they would to their co-workers.
Right.
And your clients are, you know, there's a certain type of conversation or relationship with clients where you can talk to them about your troubles, your challenges, and right. so forth. And the right. spouse will only take so much of, hearing, all the things that are not working, right? So, yeah, it's a very challenging place to be, for sure. Thanks for sharing that, Catherine, because I think a lot of, it's good for entrepreneurs to hear that, right? Because then we are prepared. We know that it's not a rosy path. Entrepreneurship is not a rosy path. It's paved with lots of potholes mm-hmm. and all kinds of obstacles, right? So,
yeah, definitely.
Now, you're an expert with Shopify, and that's one of the platforms that you really like. Why do you recommend Shopify over open source platforms?
There are a couple of reasons why I really like Shopify. So I like Shopify from an e-commerce merchant perspective. And I also like Shopify from a partner / web developer perspective. So for the e-commerce merchants, so people that are trying to get into e-commerce who have maybe little to no experience in e-commerce, they don't have a ton of technical skill. They also don't have like this huge budget to either run their store or have somebody to run it for them. The first and foremost, the most important thing that kind of stands out to me about Shopify is the affordability as an e-commerce kind of platform. So if you had to pay for a solution, their basic plan, I think it's like $29 a month, which isn't a huge investment. But for that $29, you get so much, you get the ability to add a custom domain, you can email your customers. Like when people come to your site, the abandoned cart flows, I was trying to think of the name of it, but ways to kind of reach out to your customers and track orders and integrate your store with like Facebook and Instagram and all of these other platforms natively without a whole bunch of kind of clunky add-ons or expensive integrations. So all of that is included in that base package. And so I think that really empowers e-commerce store owners, especially new e-commerce store owners, to build something from scratch and like to see it get traction. I think that's pretty powerful. So on the developer / partner side, I've worked with people that have been, I guess, for lack of a better word, abandoned, halfway through website projects. And so when they come, they reach out to me, they say, hey, I have this website. I don't know how to access it. The other person has the password. And that's a huge problem. Like if you just don't have access to your platform. So one of the things I really enjoy from a partner perspective about Shopify is the ability to kind of control access both through staff accounts, but also through those partner accounts as well. And that makes it really easy to maintain control over your store, but still invite people in to work on it. And I think that's, again, that's super powerful and empowering to both the partners and the merchants and store owners.
It's really interesting. I think back when you were doing web design in the corporate setting, cranking out websites, I was actually building my first e-commerce on Magento, I think 1.4, not even version 2.
Wow.
And so,
that's OG.
Yeah. So the problems you're explaining are very real. It's really nice on open source cart being able to have like really full control of your system, but the development costs, like you said, piecing together clunky integrations, having slow site speed because of those integrations and security vulnerabilities and having to patch stuff yourself, it becomes very expensive and quickly and a lot of headache. So it's really nice to hear you say these things about Shopify. Mm-hmm. I would ask, are there some specific situations where either it might not be a good choice to use Shopify and maybe an alternative like BigCommerce, or situations where companies grow out of Shopify?
That's a great question. And I think growing out of Shopify might actually be, that's the top reason, but like not yet growing into it as well. I know, let me explain. So the growing into it part is I still have like a full-time job, or I'm not a full-time entrepreneur. So this is just something I do extremely part-time. Also, like I don't have a following, or I just don't have a ton of traction, and I have zero budget, like no budget. Then Shopify is not going to be a great solution, because even the, at $29 a month, it's not a huge commitment. But if it's just like, if you're not entirely sure you'll get a return on that commitment, or the product that you sell maybe three of for $3 each, then obviously it's a little bit overkill. Also, if you don't have a physical product, so like if you're an e-commerce, so you sell like maybe ebooks, or you're a coach and you book appointments and people pay for those appointments. If you don't necessarily have a physical product, I think Shopify is a little bit of overkill for those types of solutions. just because, you know, Shopify is optimized for things that need pictures, for actual physical products. So those are the two things that I say you haven't quite grown into Shopify. So if you don't have a physical product, like if you're not selling a product that has pictures and requires product listings, and also if you just, you're not doing volume, like if you're selling a very small amount of an inexpensive product, I think Shopify might be overkill. On the other side of that, like Shopify scales really well, but I do think that there is a such thing as growing out of it. So at the point, like you said, where you need those custom solutions, you need functionality, or you have a team of developers in your in-house kind of that can help you with some of that development. You know, Shopify does have a very flexible framework and to allow you to kind of develop things, but they still vet a lot of the things that they, you know, allow on their platform. And so if you have a completely custom solution, then, you know, you may have trouble kind of implementing that in your store. And so I think the flexibility of open source platforms definitely helps with those custom solutions, you know, without that don't necessarily need vetting through the Shopify system. So if you have a huge custom solution or if you have an in-house team of developers, something like that, I think that would be the case where you'd want to move off platform and kind of take control over that or just really not pay the fees. If you're just like, listen, I got this. I don't need the support. I have a fully, you know, contained ecosystem of software and products to run my store, then you will have outgrown Shopify at that point, I think.
Very cool. On the same Shopify note, what are some of the most useful tools you find on the platform? And maybe what are some of the most useful tools that are least utilized by the people you consult with?
Oh, that's a good question. So I think the most useful tools are the native integrations with other social platforms. So they have native integrations with Facebook/Instagram, or I guess Meta/Instagram, or I guess Meta is technically the whole company. I don't know. Anyway, that company, they have integrations with TikTok. They have a native integration with the Google Merchant Center. So that's Google Ads, you know, Google My Business and the Google Shopping, all of that's built into that Google Merchant Center. So those native integrations are super easy. They're all free, very easy to connect. And I think that, you know, like those are actually also the most underutilized. So people are like, cool, I have this store. Now I have to log into Google and manage this. Or now I have to log into Facebook and show my stuff here. Now I have to log into other platforms to list my items as well. But the app store, I guess, or some of those integrations that are available, especially the free ones, are the things that people are underutilizing because they don't know that they exist. So app integrations would be one of the things I think are the coolest, but also the most underutilized things. And then recently Shopify revamped their email to allow like the marketing email to allow much more email to customers. So like it went from like hundreds or something to like thousands, which is a big deal. And I still think email marketing is extremely important to e-commerce businesses. And so
did I see right that MailChimp is back on Shopify? Or
yes, there were some problems with that integration, but I think they've made it a lot better now. But then Shopify also kind of stepped up their game from a mail perspective. And so one of the things I think also is just a really cool feature about Shopify is that as small business owners, we have to kind of hobble together software to get solutions. So if you have a product, you make the product, you know, you're on Google My Business, you have a Facebook store, you're on Facebook Marketplace, also you're on eBay, also, you know, you're trying to run ads, you know, also you have a integration for third-party shipping, whether that's ShipStation or ShipBob or XPS or something like that. And getting all of those things in one place, like it through the Shopify integrations. So basically a Shopify can serve as kind of a single point of contact, like a dashboard for your store. And so instead of having to log into all of those different things and go here and go there and log into email marketing and log into shipping and log into ads, all of that stuff can be managed from your dashboard. So I think that's pretty powerful. And once people see that, they're like, oh, I didn't know it could do that. I'm like, yes, that's pretty cool. So, yeah.
We definitely get the super fan vibe from you.
I told you, right. I could talk about this literally all day.
right. Now, Catherine, shifting gears a little bit, what are some of the most effective ways for driving traffic to your website?
That's a great question. And that's a question that I get the most often from people on and off Shopify. And so for Shopify is also not a if you build it, they will come solution. When I tell people when they're considering Shopify, I say, hey, if you're moving from an Etsy or an eBay or an Amazon to Shopify, just know that you will be 100% responsible for driving traffic. And so people say, okay, cool. So how do I do that? And I've actually met a lot of people who have Shopify stores and they're just not seeing the type of traffic that they would want to see. And they're running ads and they're telling people about it on social media, but they're not seeing any traffic. And so usually without even looking at their store, I can say, does your website have enough words on it? And they'll say like, what do you mean? What do you mean words? There are tons of words on this website. And I'll look and say like, there are not enough words on this website. And so that's where basically search engine optimization kind of comes in. And just to simplify that, because I know SEO and search engine optimization is an extremely kind of complex topic. But basically, is there enough text, like non-product text on your website to allow Google and site crawlers and visitors to your site to understand what the site is about, basically, aside from your products? Like, are there other pages that are not product pages? 9 out of 10 cases, the answer is no. So literally the best thing, I think there are two things I recommend to new stores to do to kind of start increasing traffic to their site. Is add in those like landing pages or category pages with text that provides that context on your website. So super basic level. And then also email marketing. People dramatically underestimate the value of email marketing to drive sales to an e-commerce store. So those are the first two very low cost, you know, kind of minimal effort things that I recommend or suggest to people, to especially to new stores, to start driving traffic to the site. Did that answer the question?
Absolutely.
It did.
I would like to add one little detail to that. I think definitely always for new stores, always look for the lowest hanging fruit in their keywords. Look for those long tail keywords that might not get you a lot of traffic, but you're able to rank for.
A lot of people don't understand the concept of a keyword at all. So it's just like, tell people where you are. Another thing randomly that I've noticed with Shopify stores specifically, or maybe not Shopify stores, like e-commerce stores specifically, is having those legal policies. So your privacy policy, cookie policy, GDPR, if it applies, having those linked in your website. I don't know how, but it seems to impact your Google search ranking. It's just like, if it doesn't show up there, Google is like, I don't know, this is legit. Also, sites like Pinterest will not show your content at all if you don't have like a return policy like prominently featured on the site. So making sure those legal policies are listed. Also, Google like looks at whether the physical location of your store is listed somewhere. So if it says Atlanta, Georgia, or, you know, like whatever, wherever you're located, if there's no like indication of where that store is, I guess there's a question about legitimacy of it. So just like you said, low hanging fruit, really simple, really quick things that you could do just to make sure your website shows up in search results and on social media. And then also, you know, like you said, those super basic keywords, or actually really any kind of text that provides context to your site. So
yeah, that's great. Man, time's flying by. I've got a few more questions, Catherine. Okay. This is so good. How can e-commerce companies use data to make decisions that strengthens their customer's journey?
That's a great question. And I think data is actually underutilized in the e-commerce space. Like, as much data as there is available, I think people are underutilizing it. They're so focused on creating the product or fulfilling the orders that they just don't really pay attention to the metrics. And so I think the metrics can help you see where the things that you're doing to bring traffic to the store are, you know, bringing returns on investment, to see what things are, you know, kind of making the most traction, to see like where your traffic is coming from and basically what the quality of that traffic is. So I'm talking about like things like bounce rates. So for instance, I had a client that said, oh, you know, 1,000 people came to the website yesterday. And I'm like, but the bounce rate was 99%. So something is very wrong. So data helps with everything from understanding where there are actual technical problems with the website to understanding what types of products, what types of campaigns, you know, what types of marketing channels are getting traction, are resonating with people, are bringing those loyal customers, you know, like what percentage of those customers are loyal, you know, what percentage of those customers spend a ton of this time on the site and where are they spending that? So I think data more generally can give you information that you can use to kind of optimize what you're doing. So instead of saying, okay, I'm just going to spray and pray and spend all of these time, like focus on all of these channels out here equally, which is going to run yourself thin very quickly. You know, you can kind of focus on the channels that are bringing the biggest return, which, you know, for some stores it's email, some stores it's social media, but definitely make the better use of your time. And a lot of the people that I work with, that they're solopreneurs or very small businesses. So time is extremely important. So paying attention to the data, paying attention to the metrics can help you stay on top of that, you know, find problems early and also make the best use of that time that you do have.
Yeah, for sure. On the marketing side, I think there's, you know, a lot of useful marketing data that really gives a lot of visibility, you know, and helps you strengthen it from a customer's journey standpoint and bringing in the right customers. And even from, you know, running the business, Catherine, it's, you know, looking at some key financial data gives a lot of visibility in how the business is doing from a gross profit standpoint, net profit, expenses, and, you know, and looking at trends and so forth. So there's a lot of benefits from looking at data to be able to make the right decisions.
Exactly. And that's actually one of the things that I see a lot in Shopify stores. So Shopify reporting has profit reporting built into it, but like you have to put in the information about the cost to be able to get the information about the profit. And as a marketing consultant, like as an outsider, I don't know how much your product costs. And so, you know, as I'm showing people their dashboard, like there's an analytics section under Shopify and it's like, oh, okay, well, why does it say I made zero profit? And I'm like, it's because you didn't put in any costs. Like you have to enter this information. And I think a lot of business owners actually don't even know how to calculate the cost of their product. And so in that way, like the metrics aren't even as helpful because you don't have the full story. You don't have the full picture. And so that's one of the things that, you know, like it would be super helpful, you know, for people to kind of understand, like you said, those financial metrics of the business, because sales is one part of it. Yes. Like return purchases is one part of it. Yes. But if your products aren't priced right, you know, or like if the profit isn't that high, then you just don't have any visibility into that. You're struggling and wondering like, why am I not, you know, like, why does this still feel like a hustle? Why isn't this getting easier? You know, when maybe changing the prices or fixing the shipping is something super simple that you could do. So yeah, I think knowing those financial kind of metrics and knowing things like product cost is super important.
Yeah.
It's very similar to the same wizard talking about, optimizing your site, you know, making sure you're getting that conversion optimization. It's very similar to this type of decision, like what product should you put your marketing budget towards and why should you put that marketing budget towards them because of the profitability.
Right.
This is awesome. Sure. Did you have a question? I've kind of felt you had a question, but I'm not sure. Or you're good?
No, I don't think I have any more questions. It's been a great conversation.
Yeah, it has. You know, Catherine, before we talk, you know, I'll ask you kind of how listeners can reach out to you if they want to do that. Is there any final words of wisdom or a question we didn't ask you that we should have asked you?
Sure. So as you can tell, I'm a Shopify super fan. And like, usually when I talk about e-commerce, I talk about Shopify just because it's very accessible, especially to people who are just getting started in e-commerce. But I will say that e-commerce like stores are not one size fits all. So definitely evaluate those options out there, whether that be an open source platform or whether that be a paid platform like Shopify. So just evaluate those options that are out there, try them out, you know, for your particular business and see what works for you. Like I said, I'm the Shopify super fan for sure, but like I will also recommend other platforms to clients based on what they're doing. So like coaches and consultants, like I said, Shopify is probably not a great option for them as well. So e-commerce is not a one size fits all. The answer is not always Shopify, but I do love Shopify as a platform. I'll say that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And I encourage everyone to reach out to you and have a conversation with you if you're looking, you know, if you've got an e-commerce business and looking to grow it. Catherine, how can people reach out to you? What's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. So my website is the best way to reach out to me. And that website is waltonbirch.com. So it's waltonbirch.com. I am also on Instagram as @KRS_consulting. I've been not so active because I've been so busy lately, but I do DIY tips there. And I'm also in the middle of a build a Shopify store with me just because I get a lot of questions about how to do things in the dashboard. And so as I basically record how-to videos to answer some of those FAQs, you can kind of watch me and see like real time how to go through the dashboard and ask some of those questions. So that's @KRS_consulting on Instagram and then waltonbirch.com.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Catherine. This was really, really very good information you shared with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Money Map podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can find them at ecommercemoneymap.com. or on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to learn more about the e-commerce accounting hub, visit ecommerceaccountinghub.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the e-commerce Money Map podcast.